continue to pray that you would open your word to us so that we'd understand our part in it. We thank you for your presence here this morning, the way that you've touched our lives. We pray that you continue to do that. Help us to know you more, to draw deep from your resources for living, to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, and reflect the good news to those that come in our way. We ask this in your name. Amen. I'd like to take a look at this subject. This next subject is called Soaring, Running, and Walking. It comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. So if you'd like to turn there with me, you can follow along with me on that. The big idea here is this. Soaring, running, and walking as God's people means a life of renewing our strength in God. It's interesting, the tie between suffering here in this theme this morning, that the Holy Spirit is directed, and the subject of suffering as it appears in this text in Isaiah. It's a remarkable connection. I wonder if you would just read with me. We'll read those short verses, and then we'll continue. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The Lord bless his word. This morning, first off, I'd like to take a look at this issue of hardship. There are times when I have days, and this is not real hardship, I'm just going to call it a natub kind of day. Natub is not a word. It is a misspelling. I'm typing away, and I'm trying to type nation, and I type natub. And I check my keyboard position, and I type away again, and I look up, and it's natub. And I try it again. Have you ever had a natub kind of day? Everything you do just seems to just, it just falls apart. So you know what I mean about a natub kind of day. There are days like that. Well, good morning. It's a natub kind of day. When Isaiah refers to Jacob here in this passage, he's talking about Israel, and he's talking about God's people, and he's talking about the people that God redeemed. God brought them out of slavery and said to them, I will be your God, and you will be my people. So here we have, in this first portion, in that first verse, God's people speaking and saying, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause or rights or due as part of God's people are being disregarded by God. God's people are not happy about what's going on. My way is hidden from the Lord. Things haven't been going my way. I feel like God has been letting me down. I don't know if those thoughts have ever entered your mind. They have mine at times. And then the words say and speak are in a continuous sense. So let's put it in a continuous sense. They keep saying, my way is hidden from the Lord. You keep speaking that your right is disregarded before God. These are people who felt like their faith was being stretched, that they were going the extra mile, and in a sense, that God was not living up to the bargain. You may have felt like the person who says something like this: I've been reading, I've been praying, I've been trying to grow in my faith, so why are all these things happening to me or happening to my family? In my down moments, I feel like God has not kept his part of the bargain. Some of you, I know, have lived and served sacrificially, but yet you know what that feeling is like. Lord, I've been working flat out for you. I do it because I love you, but I don't understand all these things, all the things that I've done for you all these years, all the prayers I've made. I have some questions. I'm left with questions. Some questions like, why have you allowed these difficulties, these pressures, either in my family or for my church? When I think about the body of Christ, why haven't you sent great revival or renewal among us? Why hasn't there been greater blessing? Why have you allowed this great decline of faith in our country? These are very real questions, and they lurk in the hidden places of the believing heart, and they sap our strength. The first thing that we note about the kind of the universal complaint that you saw in the people of Israel was hardship and stress. Where are you in all of this? Hardship and stress drain us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, just physical strength-wise. Hardships drain us. They are also difficult. When hardships come our way, it's hard to take responsibility for those hardships. Even when they're self-caused, there are times when we find it difficult as human beings to take responsibility for those hardships, even when they're self-caused. So that brings us to the next possibility. What do we do when we feel that way? Well, it's really easy for us to fault someone else about the hardship, right? No. Okay, now I'm getting the nods. Yeah. Yes. If someone else in the hardship, even God, whether or not we cause the hardship, can go that way. This is the plight of the people of Israel. This is the plight of you and me at times. We wonder, what are you up to? Whether or not we cause something, we really feel like it needs the responsibility needs to go someplace. So that's our universal complaint. That was the complaint of the people of Israel. Now, Isaiah, as God's voice to the people of Israel, wanted to give them something to consider. And that's what comes next in our passage, something to consider. Not a blank screen. There we go. Something to consider. And basically the question that Isaiah and God asked the people through Isaiah is this: who is God? Now, we have several descriptions here. The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, someone who does not grow tired and weary, and someone whose understanding no one can fathom. When you hear the word Lord, what comes to your mind? A king? Someone who's sovereign over something or someone? Okay? Master. Father. Okay? The law, the Lord, L-A-W. L-A-W, okay? When you hear everlasting God, what do you think of? You think of the word eternal, okay? Can you expand that idea here then? When the word eternity is referring to God? Okay. Not going there, yes? Without beginning or end. God always has been, always is, and will ever be. sits outside of what we know as time. Everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth. What comes to mind? The ends, creator of the ends of the earth. So are you talking about time itself there? Okay. Okay, so God is the creator. Sometimes when we look at the ends of the earth, it's like the remote, even to the remote ends of the earth, every remote part of the earth. That is, God is never not someplace on the earth. Everywhere. Yes?
I was reading a scripture that said things invisible and visible, and I was thinking in that time frame, they had no idea what was invisible. And we now realize that there's molecular things and one-celled animals, and they had no idea then the huge universe of this giant created area that they didn't even know when they used the word invisible. And I went, whoa!
God's even involved in that, present as a creator.
That entire universe is still.
Yes. Does not grow tired and weary. What does that come to your mind when you hear that?
Infinite patience.
Infinite patience. We get impatient, we get tired and weary, don't we? Infinite patience. Always there, okay? Will not turn his back on us, okay?
Constant.
Constant. Doesn't wear out. It's interesting. Creates all of this and yet doesn't get tired. Holds all of it together and never wearies. There's a great contrast that he's going to make, as we read, you probably caught that, between what God is like, who never wearies, never tires, and what human beings are like, who do both things. His understanding, no one can fathom. What comes to your mind?
Everything.
Knows everything. We have a term for that, a theological term. All-knowing. Limitless knowledge. Go back through the list. Does not grow tired or weary. All-powerful. So all-knowing, all-powerful, the creator, everlasting God, that eternal, and Lord, supreme, or the almighty. Now, that we've looked at some of those things, we've considered who God is, how do those things speak to the situation that Israel was describing? They were describing a situation where they felt isolated and left alone, maybe ignored by God, and abandoned to what the circumstances were and without God's help. What do these things say to the people of Israel? God knows your struggles. He is there and will provide for you, okay? He is trustworthy. You don't have to do it on your own. Very God, and we are very not. So how would knowing that help the people of Israel who are struggling at this time? Okay, we need to trust. Was there something in your mind, Elsa? Well, you'll figure it out eventually when you wait. So in this case, it's just like this, huh? They were not aware that God was carrying them. This kind of God was carrying them.
They weren't trusting.
They weren't trusting.
It makes me think that God is
always there, but all that says obviously, and he's always trustworthy and he's always powerful. But he's also willing to not push himself in where he's not been invited. So he's there and he's at waiting with all of this power and might to share with us, but he's waiting for us to invite him into the situation.
Yes. He's there and waiting for us to invite him in. Now, keep an eye out for that where the invitation is in this text. It's not from God's side. There is a problem. It's you. He starts off with these questions. Haven't you heard this? Very good. He said, it's not an accident the Lord called us the sheep of his hand. If you've ever had 65 sheep, you know they're going all different directions. And God is obviously patient, very, very patient with all of us in that. You can see if you go down through this list, and this would be a list, a great devotional list. When you are feeling isolated, alone, and estranged from God, that God isn't there for you, go down through this list again and do some reflection. And just ask, how in your wisdom do you want me to engage with you? How in your how do you want me to trust you in your creative ability for these circumstances? How do you want me to be able to rest these things that concern me so in the hands of someone who doesn't tire or weary of them? I'm beat from them, but you're not. So how can I trust you with that? Well, here's the setting. To get a little deeper into the setting, I've held that off till this, but imagine with me that you are on a four-month walk, a four-month walkabout. You had to walk from your capital in Jerusalem to a foreign place called Babylon. You had to stay there as exiles after an army came in and destroyed the capital. You were eventually released to return home after at least about 48 years. You were young when you left. When the Persian soldiers would let you, you burned off extra energy and angst by running ahead of the group. And because, well, it took a long time for them to catch up, you decided you would just run back to the group. That's what you did when you were young. At the time you return, however, your parents may not even be living. It's different than when you walked those miles as a young person. Some of it you vaguely recognize, but you feel the miles. It seems like these stretches between the familiar are longer than when you left on this four-month hike back to Jerusalem. Even though things are measured in how much time it takes to cover the distance in that day, it's a whopping 900 miles. Think of the distance, about battleground to LA, or to Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's Bakersfield.
Hmm?
It's Bakersfield.
Bakersfield? That's how far. There you go. Someone new. Provo, Utah. From here to Billings, Montana. To Edmonton, Canada. Or Smithers, British Columbia. It's a long, long hike. Now, you might have felt as they did if you'd had to take that walk two times. You might feel that way when You understood that God said, I've chosen you as my special people, and you got moved off into a whole nother country and spent a great big segment of your life. Just add to your age 48 years. What is it going to be like on the hike back? It's a long ways. And what God offers for you and for me is strength for the weak and the weary. Can you see how these images might speak to their condition? Weak and weary after what they went through. This story is a story about how God promised the people they were going to be able to return and did, in fact, return. It's that segment of time that you find in the Bible that Ezra, the book of Ezra and Nehemiah is written about them going back to this devastated landscape. So that's the kind of the setting. But he's promising strength for the weary. Even youths grow tired and weary, it says, and young men stumble and fall. And so God promises help beyond the best that we possess. Those of you who are young, you must know that those of us who are aging envy you. We envy your strength and your ability. You can walk my legs off now. I used to be able to do that for others. But when it's talking about even youths grow weary and tired and young men stumble and fall, we're talking about the strongest among us. Even they experience their limits. There's a remarkable person, you may know who this is. Do any of you read about this particular person? His name's Colin Brady. Just finished about a 900-mile trek on the Antarctic. About the same distance. By himself, this is a record, by himself, no assistance from anyone. Carried a sled with all he needed to eat, and he made this trip. One of the things that he did when he first got back was call his wife and tell her he made it. And the second was an interview, a television interview, where he said these words, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little tired. I think the last day he covered 80 miles, the last stretch. It was an 80-mile push to the end. Something planned it like to do it in 70 days and did it in 50, I think, something like that. Remarkable. The best that among us could do. But even they grow weary and tired. Even they grow weary and tired. We will, as a people, and even those of you who are strong and full of energy today, we will never be equal to or exceed the demands of life. I found this to be true. We are kind of arrogant to think that we will be. We are not wise pretending to live as if we are adequate for it all. His accomplishment is a first. And it was a dangerous accomplishment. There was a person a couple of years ago who tried this and died 30 miles from the end of the trek. And life is not meant to be lived that way, with this whole superhuman challenge burning through every ounce of energy that we have. It may be good for setting some records for a long time, but it isn't how we live life. Life is a journey. It's a long journey with our Creator, who wants to meet us at the point of our limitations, to be known by us during those limitations, to help us through life. God is offering himself to us. We may need to limit what we put on our calendars so that we have time to reflect and relate to this offer from God. Now, just thought I'd ask you the question, do you know what this thing is? What is that? I saw somebody say, a bow of a ship. How deep it is in the water. Do you know what that's called? Okay, the draft. Those markings on the thing are called the plimsoll mark. Now, it was kind of interesting to learn a little bit about this mark. Apparently, there was a British politician in the 19th century who was a contemporary of William Wilberforce. Okay? Both of them were Christians. Both of them were trying to apply their Christian faith to real life issues in their day. One was slavery. The other was this circumstance that was going on with ships. At the time, trip insurance was a brand new thing. And what wealthy ship owners would do is they would fill these ships just almost to where they're almost going to sink. They found that they could get more from insurance than delivering the stuff. And so these ships began to be called coffin ships because the crew went down with them. Either way, we have a terrific load. We've maximized our ability to fill the ship and deliver the goods, or we collect on the insurance. And what Plimsoll did, Samuel Plimsoll, is he labored for legislation to put these marks on the ship. And then the ships were checked, and they could not put anything above the top mark. I mean, they couldn't load the ship any more than that deep. We have a Plimsoll mark in our lives, you and me. We grow weary. We grow tired. And God wants to help us, really wants to help us, so that our lives are not so overloaded that we don't have time to know him. To know him in these ways, where we put our hope in the Lord. It says they will, so there's first, help beyond the best we possess, renewal of staying power as well in our lives. The word renew has an interesting connotation. It isn't just to make it fresh, but it's almost like an exchange. We exchange our weariness for God's help and resource and strength. That's how we renew our strength. Isn't it interesting that there's a, the way the text runs, it talks about soaring. They will, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If I were writing this story, I'd reverse them. Because I think of walking, running, and soaring as kind of a goal-oriented thing. I want to soar. That's what I want to do. And I don't know if those weary people, as they walked along the way, had an opportunity to see an eagle flying, and you know how they are. This would be disgusting. How they would fly over you, and they would head off into the far distance, and here you are still trudging and trudging and trudging. But you would see that as an example of, oh, the kind of freedom. Wouldn't you become a little jealous at that point, trekking through all that and watching the eagle soar? There are moments when we soar as individuals. There are moments that we run. But most of the time we walk. Most of the time we walk. And for each one of those, there is a promise. And this is what God asks of us. God asks us to wait hopefully. I'm going to pass around something for you to take a look at. You can just pass it from one person to the other. You can wring it a little bit. You can feel how tight the knots are. You can look at the ends. Notice that they're full of little different strands of color. You can tickle your friend's nose with it, but don't be naughty. It was there. It was just there. It had to be said. The Hebrew word for wait or hope, translated hope here, has this connotation: to wait hopefully, to wait with expectation. Okay? That's a basic idea of the word. But how do we do that? How do we wait hopefully and with expectation? There's another little hint that comes to us from that Hebrew word. It's pronounced kavav, and the figurative meaning of this word is interesting. It means to bind together, but not like taking a group of sticks and wrapping them together. It's weaving like strings together. So the little illustration that you have in front of you, and it's an example of the strength of something as you weave the little pieces together, it becomes something very, very strong. Now, if any of you want to keep one of those, just write me a paragraph on how you see that as an example of hope, okay? Or write me a poem or draw me a picture. I don't care. You can keep it. You can keep it as your example, or if you have a dog that particularly you want to give it to. They have not been used, okay? They've not been used. So instead, you have this process of a rope by twisting and weaving small strings together to form a rope. The more strands that are twisted together, woven together in this rope, the greater is its strength. This is a picture of hope, okay? Hope. When we go through harsh trials of endurance and change, God helps us. God shapes our character and our faith. It's in times like these that we unite with the Lord like the strands of a rope, and we wait upon him. And how do we fill our time? Well, we could reflect on the times that we've heard each other talk about how God helped them and find hope in that. That's one strand in my hope. We could think about another person in our fellowship and how God has helped them. And that's another color that goes into our rope of hope. We could think about how God made real a passage of Scripture to us, and it brought us such clarity, and it took us out of a dark place, and it created hope within us. That's another strand that goes into this rope of hope. That's how we can feel the time. That's how we can hope. We can remember that God is faithful. All those attributes of God that we looked at, and we ask, what does that mean to you? We could go back through that, and that becomes another strand of in the rope of hope. The Hebrew word for wait, like I said, is a word that has a note of expectation, expecting God to work. We can do that having reviewed how God has been so faithful in the past. We can do that not only because we've seen God at work in our times, and believe me, like the knot in the middle of that little rope, isn't it hard? That'd be a good thing to hang on to if you had to actually hang on to the whole thing and hold your own weight. There are times where I can think about occasions where God has worked in my life in the past, and it just transformed things. It just absolutely made all the difference. I didn't have answers. It's like Hezekiah said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. It is those moments where we look to God in hope that God makes all the difference for you and for me. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in that you are always with us, even when we're going through difficulty, as you were with your people. Those moments that they didn't recognize or acknowledge your presence, you were still there, limiting, helping, encouraging. Use these words in our lives today. Help us to see you at work where you are. Speak to us each one as only you can to show us that it's you that is with us and you'll see us through. We ask this in your name. Amen.